sentiments exactly. We'll see what happens. So my name's Eric. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I rely on his healing power every day to help me through life's struggles and challenges. And I just want to say thank you to all the members of First Community Church for allowing us to use your building, our building, all us members, use our building for this program. By offering the use of the building to us, you've changed dozens of lives those last 2 years that we've been doing it. And I don't know why I'm always amazed at God, but he does things. The timing couldn't have been more perfect for Russ to do Furcroft, and through various delays, we ended up right back around to starting our very third year. The first day of our third year was last night, as we're going back through the 12 steps again, because we're learning that we can keep going through these steps and keep applying them to different areas of our lives. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about what we do there. Every Saturday night we meet in the back part of the church, and we have a meal together from 6 to 6:30, and it's a good time to fellowship and get our hearts towards each other, you know, and we just share through the week as we're developing a relationship. I think it's, you know, the kind of relationship God wants to have the body of Christ have, is that breaking bread together and sharing our weeks with each other. And after the meal, we have a time of prayer and a time of worship to get our hearts right before God. And then 1 week we'll have a lesson that's surrounded, it's about one of the steps. You know, this week we're on step one, and we'll keep going through all 12 through the course of the year. And then every other week we talk about, we have a testimony. Either someone who's going to the program here will write a testimony and share God's victory and healing power in their life, or we'll watch a video testimony from someone who's attended Celebrate Recovery somewhere else, and we see a victory. And oftentimes I find myself relating to the process someone's going through, even if I don't relate to the situation they were in. I see how God works the same way in my life, brings me to the same lows, whether, like Joe mentioned, through a broken foot or through an addiction or through a death or a grief or whatever. We get to this place where we cry out to God and he heals us. And then after we do the lesson and the testimony, we break up into small groups. So unlike other 12-step programs where everybody shares mixed, men will share with men, women will share with women, and it allows for a little more intimate sharing and a safer sharing environment where people can bear their hearts and get support from one another. And during that time, we're not trying to fix anyone. People share, they get to say what they're going through and kind of put it out there, and then someone else shares. No one's going to tell you, you should do this or you should do that. That's not what it's about. It's just a place to share, and then if you want to approach someone after, you can talk to them. Now that's the what we do. Now why we do it is specific reasons why we do it is different. Everybody's going to come there for a different reason. We're not all coming there for the same thing. But I think in general, we do it for the same reasons. Russ has been preaching. Another reason I get amazed at God is how he brings the timing. What Russ has been preaching on this, that we've been going through the book of Judges, and he's been preaching on this cycle that Israel's in, and they, you know, God, they have a crisis, God delivers them, and then there's some peace, and then they start slowly slipping away, and then they start worshiping false gods, and then they have a crisis and God delivers them, and that's us. We have things that we overcome in our life, and then we start to feel good about them, and then all of a sudden we think things are pretty good, and then before we know it, we're doing things that are tearing us down again, and then bam, we're far from God, and then we need rescuing again. So somewhere we got to break the cycle, and that's one thing that CR does for us. This helps us break the cycle. We have a chance to look at it, examine it, see ourselves, and break that cycle. And some of the things Russ has been saying too stick in my mind. He says we are sometimes Israel. Why do they do that cycle? One of the things is they think about what they're saved from and not what they're saved to. And so I, even starting this program, thought of it as a program that I was thinking, oh, this is something you can do to, you know, get rid of these behaviors, like help you to be stronger, you know, and put away some of the things or avoid temptations. Yeah, that happens there. But I think as I've grown in the program, I realize what it really is a place to allow the healing power of Jesus Christ, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, is at work in us. And it's raising us to newness of life. So whatever thing has been holding us back, whatever is entangling us or hindering us from running the race, is going to be dealt with by the healing power. And so it's like, really, you're going there to be raised from the dead, so to speak. And the other thing that Russ says week after week in Judges is, if you want the promises of God, you got to live like you want the promises of God. And when I was a young believer, I thought, okay, I come to Jesus and everything's going to be better. Boy, was I in for a surprise. Nothing was better other than that I had someone to turn to, and that was better, and that I was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that I, all these things, but the struggles of life are still the same. You still have financial struggles and health struggles and all these other struggles. Well, to gain those promises, sometimes we have to learn and exercise towards, learn how to rely on God for them and not to turn to other things. Like that cycle is, you know, trials come, you pick up an old behavior that doesn't really necessarily serve you, but you've just learned to do that through your life. And God wants us to break that. And Russ also set me up by sharing this scripture. And this, to me, is what Celebrate Recovery does. It says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do in Celebrate Recovery. And we do it imperfectly, but we do it when we strive to be effective in our walk with Jesus Christ. Why we come is up to us. And we're going to share, Ellen's going to share with us the 12 steps, and we're going to watch a video why one family, or how one family uses Celebrate Recovery. And I was also given something by someone who attends, and they wanted to share anonymously, and it touched me the way they wrote why they come. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Why do I like coming to Celebrate Recovery? When I am alone and afraid and cannot protect myself adequately, I become what I don't want to be, a victim of PTSD. I am more likely to do what the Bible and my conscience say I shouldn't do. And I know that being in a group of Christians who acknowledge that there is a higher power, i.e. God, and that with biblical principles, prayer, and fellowship, one day at a time, I am being healed from the traumas, the scars, and controls over me that I don't want in my life. Thank God and thank you. So, now it's Ellen's turn. What? Oh, we're gonna watch a video, then 12 steps? Okay.
Hi, I'm a believer who struggles with anger and codependency, and my name is Norma. I was raised in a loving Christian home with parents who knew God and who taught me about Him. I was the oldest, a rule follower, a people pleaser, and a workaholic, realizing in recovery that I am a codependent. With starry eyes in 1970, I married my college sweetheart, and we started our home in Tulsa, found our church home at Southern Hills Baptist, had four daughters, and our life rolled along. We served as Sunday school teachers, deacons, on committees, in just about every capacity at our church. And over the years, we experienced life's difficulties where we learned to lean on Jesus. The first time I ever had to really let go and really surrender to God was when I learned that in the third month of our pregnancy that our baby wouldn't live. I was devastated and I was crushed, but Steve reminded me immediately to depend on God. Even though we knew nothing about recovery, I just began to take one day at a time, relying on God to get me through each day, truly moment by moment, praying constantly that I was able to continue to care for two daughters while I carried this baby an additional 3 months before I miscarried. Financial difficulties of being self-employed during the 80s brought us close to bankruptcy and the loss of our home, but God intervened and we slowly began to recover financially. We faced a bitter lawsuit in the 90s with the potential of financial ruin, but once again we relied on God. We won the lawsuit and we gave God the glory. Now these events are important because they are spiritual markers for us, moments when we chose to turn our wills to God. And I would have told you when I learned about recovery in 2001 that our marriage of 32 years had been good. Unaware of my need, though, I came to the summit in 2001 because I was one of those that wanted to support. I wanted to help my cousin who was struggling with an addiction, but God had different plans for me. I was shocked, with tears rolling down my face on that first day, when I realized that I was the one that needed recovery. If I hadn't come to that summit, our marriage very well could have ended. You see, God used John Baker to show me that I needed to step out of denial and be honest about the hidden pain in my heart about our marriage. I realized that in many ways we were living in insanity. This was so painful because I had spent 50 years covering up, denying, and burying my true feelings. I had worked hard to control situations and the people in my life. I finally admitted that I was resentful and angry about our marriage. I came face to face with Principle One. I had to admit that I was not in control and that I could not correct the problem. The elephant in the room was anger, sometimes rage, deep-seated selfishness, and pride on both our parts. And when we went there, it was ugly. The anger that spewed from both of us took a huge toll on my heart, our relationship, and our family. I realized and I told Steve that the anger was devouring the love that we shared, leaving me empty, alone, and terribly sad about the love that we had lost. What was once a vibrant and exciting love had become numb, distant, and void, with two people trying to control and using anger as the means to do it. I could see the effects of our anger. Our girls feared and looked for our next fight. They learned to deal with conflict by yelling, manipulating, and they became aggressive themselves. Worst of all, while really believing that we were modeling a Christian lifestyle, we really taught them to listen to, lean on, and look for our approval, not realizing the devastating results of not teaching our girls to please God only, to surrender to Him daily. But all six of us, we looked good to the world and to our church, and I'm sad to say that the way we looked was more important at that time in our lives. We didn't talk about our struggles or our problems at church. It just wasn't the place to be honest in those days. We were comfortable hiding behind our masks, pretending to be a happy couple, dying on the inside all the while. As I received information about Celebrate Recovery, the more aware I became that I needed to step out of denial and confess to the hidden hurts and chaos in my own life and marriage. God began to show me my often hidden motives. Serving at church to make myself look good or to please others, working hard at home on a project to gain approval from Steve. I realized that I was self-righteous, that I really felt that I was better than others because I had been involved in the church. I wasn't an alcoholic and I hadn't been unfaithful. I wasn't one of those people. But God really humbled me as I took a look at my heart, and I had to confess that I too was guilty for my thoughts, which all too often were no different than others' actions. I finally saw that I am one of those people that I desperately needed recovery, and I'm so proud to be one of those people today. Hardest to admit was my failure to communicate my true feelings, and today I call that lying. It breaks my heart to recall all the times I lied to Steve about my feelings because I knew that the truth would hurt him or us, or it would reveal the truth about me. I had to admit that I was controlling, critical, a liar, and a perfectionist. I'd found my character flaws, you see, and I didn't think that I had any. And these flaws were the very things that I deplore in other people. Principle 6 was the most difficult principle for me, but it was also the one that changed my heart. I remember the night I apologized to Steve for my arrogance in blaming him totally for the problems in our marriage. I now know that my anger, resentment, and bitterness hurt our marriage more than Steve's anger. This principle was a turning point for us, and God began to change me, giving me an awesome peace and a joy in our marriage. Self-pity began to disappear, and my selfish negative thoughts surfaced less frequently. God began erasing my past hurts and replacing them with the memories that we are creating in the present. We are both learning to relinquish to God our tendencies to be controlling. This last Monday, we celebrated our 41st wedding anniversary. We wouldn't be here today and tell you that our marriage is perfect or that we are never angry or controlling. What we will tell you is that the scripture is true. As we have continued this marathon race of recovery for the last 10 years, God has brought great meaning to the scripture in Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything. Far more than you could ever imagine or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently working within us. We are so thankful for his work in our lives, guiding us to be more of who he wants us to be each day. We are so thankful that the vibrant and exciting love of our youth continues to grow today into a much stronger, more compassionate, intimate, and unselfish marriage. If I hadn't come to recovery for my cousin, we would not be sharing our story of a transformed marriage. We are forever thankful that as our marriage changed, we were able to model the 8 principles of recovery for our daughters. Now I'd like to introduce to you our oldest daughter.
I'm a believer who struggles with codependency and fear. My name is Stephanie. I grew up in a Christian home, the oldest of 4 daughters to Steve and Norma Murphy. I had everything I needed and most of what I wanted. When doing my inventory, I often asked myself, what did I have to fear? I didn't have an answer, But fear was the stronghold that consumed all of my childhood and most of my adult life, until my amazing journey with Celebrate Recovery began in 2007. Starting at a young age, I chose to submit to fear and control as my grandfather and my cousin died, and my youngest sister was diagnosed with diabetes. Not understanding the devastation fear can have on a life, I hid my fears from my parents. My fears only grew over the years as I married and had children. The love I had for my family, husband, and children was so deep, and I had not learned that trusting God with their lives would free me from fear and control. It was an amazing revelation when I realized that throughout my life, I had slowly lost people that I loved through death, divorce, and loss of friendship. However, what has never abandoned me nor forsaken me is the love of my Savior. My fear and control ushered me into codependent behavior that became very destructive. My life was slowly spinning out of control while I stood there with a huge grin on my face, a grin you would call a mask. As my fears grew, so did my drug of choice, food. I met and married my college sweetheart 14 years ago. Over the years, my fears had grown more and more out of hand. This fear did not come close to how I felt when I fell in love. All of a sudden, it felt like a different kind of love and wanted with everything in me to make sure that this love stayed forever. While I thought that I was saving the day or supporting him or taking care of things for him, I was really being too controlling in our marriage. As a youth pastor's wife, I did what I thought was expected of me. I continued to wear my mask and do everything I could to make everything look pretty. Had anyone dared to pry the mask away, they would have seen sheer devastation inside. I feel a burden to be very vocal about the devastation that codependency can have on a marriage. I tried counseling, Bible studies, anything I could find that would help me relieve myself of the pressures I felt inside from anxiety and fear. I'm so thankful for my second step study in February of 2009. Armed with the 8 principles and a desire to literally face my fears, I chased after God for freedom. God did miraculously heal me, but it was me who continued to work the steps and choose to change my behaviors. 3 short weeks later, my dad had triple bypass surgery. For the first time in my life, I did not feel fear. Please do not. Please do not misunderstand. I wrestled with fear, but my God continued to reign over my freedom. To the shock of my family and friends, I faced the morning of Dad's surgery with a smile on my face and peace in my heart. You see, I had released my husband, my parents, sisters, daughters, and the rest of my family and friends into the hands of the Almighty, where they belonged. My God could do infinitely more and love them infinitely more than my humanity allowed. While I would have grieved deeply at the loss of my dad, I chose to allow the great physician to do his work instead, leaving me with a new friend in my life, peace. Over time, and with neither of us dealing with our issues honestly, just 5 days before Easter of 2010, my husband announced to my daughters and me that he was leaving us. After he walked out the door, I called my sponsor. I knew I needed to start with principle 1 and 2 all over again. The day that I signed the divorce papers was the lowest point in my life. My father has been a physical representation of Christ's love for me. My dad literally held me up as I signed my name on those legal documents. Dad immediately turned to me, held my shoulders, and he promised that he would never leave me. Where'd I heard that before? In Deuteronomy 31:7, it says, God is striding ahead of you. He is right there with you. He won't let you down. He will never leave you. Mm-hmm. As I worked Principle 6, God reminded me that this divorce was not about me and my former husband. And I learned that for the first time in my life, unforgiveness breeds resentment. This was now about my girls. They were watching me. Was I going to be bitter and angry, or was I going to forgive my ex-husband and release him? So I began the process of forgiveness. It says in Hosea 2, 14 through 15, and now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. I'm taking her back into the wilderness where we had our first date, and I'm going to court her. I'll give her bouquets of roses. I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into Acres of Hope. Today, I am the ministry leader for The Landing at Southern Hills Baptist Church. As the ministry leader for The Landing at Southern Hills, I have seen the miracle of recovery through the lives of many teens. And I've seen my daughters surrender the hurt they're experiencing with a divorce of their parents to Christ, because my girls are in recovery too. And like me, as soon as their dad walked out the door over a year ago, my girls called their sponsors. I want my daughters to have the tools to deal with whatever life hands them. My oldest is in The Landing, and I would like to introduce her to you.
Hi, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with anger. My name is Anne Murray. I'm 13 years old, and I grew up in a Christian home with two fabulous parents who love me very much. My mom and dad and our huge family have always been there for me. I loved being a youth pastor's daughter. The youth were always more like my older brothers and sisters. The hardest day of my life was when my dad told me and my sister that he and my mom were getting divorced. Most days are great, but I still can't help it. And sometimes I picture my dad walking out the door. Now I'm thankful to say that I'm confident that my mom and dad love me, and I have forgiven both of my parents for not taking better care of their marriage. I'm about to start eighth grade this year and have loved going to The Landing on Fridays. When I go to The Landing, I don't feel judged. I feel free to worship God openly, and I feel refreshed when I leave. I know that no matter what, I have someone I can talk to. I have learned that I can rely on the community there and my leaders and older friends I have made. I love my Landing group leaders, Brandy and Polly. They really listen to me and don't judge. I know I can tell them anything. I know how God sees me, and I'm working hard not to think about how other people see me. My favorite scripture is Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Please listen as my little sister shares with you.
In Jesus Christ who struggles with anger. My name is Lauren. I'm 11 years old, and I grew up in a home where I felt very safe and loved. My dad is very protective of me, but I didn't like it when my parents fought. My dad used to be a youth pastor, and I liked that a lot. I really liked hearing him preach. Last year, my dad told me and Amory that my mom and dad were getting divorced. I was really mad at them for breaking their promise. There are still days that I worry about them fighting, and I get sad at school, but I know I can go to my mom. I've forgiven my parents, and I feel better. I'm really lucky because I get to go to Celebration Station on Fridays. My very favorite thing about Celebration Station is Miss Julie. She's our ministry leader, and she's always there for me. I know I can tell her anything. My cousin Nicole is one of the Celebration Station leaders, and she helps me because her parents got divorced too. Adriana is my other leader. I really like her prayers. She says words in her prayers that make me feel better. I know I can say anything in Celebration Station because there's confidentiality. It is fun, and I get to learn about God. I really like the worship and the songs and dancing. My favorite scripture is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have a better day when I remember that scripture because there is strength in me that He can only put there. I love Friday nights with our whole family at CR. 2 years ago, my great-grandmother, Grandy, started CR, and she's here to share her story with you.
Believer who struggles with anger and a critical spirit. My name is Randy. Thank you. I was born 90 years ago in Duval, Oklahoma, into a loving home with Christian parents, the third of four children. I thought I was the chosen child. And it appeared I was could never do any wrong. I did have a mischievous bent, and I knew the joy of having a good time. But I never really got into any serious trouble as a child, a teenager, or an adult. Being aware of Norma and Steve's work in Celebrate Recovery, I decided it was time for me to attend. Within a few months, I was hooked. I was a regular on Friday night. At first, I could not tell you what my struggles were because I've always felt that I had one huge blessing after the other from my living Heavenly Father. But the longer I attended the open share group, the more aware I became of my character defects and the hurts in my life. And would you believe, for many years, I considered myself such a very good Christian woman. Of the many things I have learned, I am most grateful for becoming honest with myself and with God. This has resulted in a more intimate relationship with my Savior. And I know now how very necessary it is for me to take time every single day to read His Word and have my quiet time with Him. This was a tremendous gift, and I really had not been putting Him first. Working the eight principles helped me to take a deeper look at the losses in my life. There was a bad car accident at age 13, the death of a dear friend in a horrible car accident, and then the death of the father of my children. A fine Christian man and my husband for 41 years. His death was followed by my making the mistake of marrying a man I later divorced. At 80, I married again. This was to a fine Christian man I had known since the second grade. He passed away almost 2 years ago. As I've inventoried these relationships and these losses, I'm even more grateful for my God. He was always with me there in those darkest days of my life. And I'm thankful He continues to show me His peace today. Principle 8 states, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. This principle has reminded me of the importance of serving, even at my age. I diligently searched the Bible to find one word that said, retire from your Christian work. At 65, 85, or 90, or find one that says, do not serve any longer. Keep what you've learned to yourself. It's just not there. So today I serve on the hospitality team at our Celebrate Recovery. And I serve in, the CR office as a volunteer. I recently received my DOC badge and have joined our new CR Inside Out team. I want you to know I do have a title at our CR. After attending the summit here last year and seeing the lady ushers cleaning up and directing all that traffic in the restroom, I returned home and proceeded to suggest that we have lady ushers in our restrooms. So last year at our one day, I received a title. It isn't lady usher, it's potty cop. You can laugh, but it is serving. Today my goal is to keep on serving until that day when I see my Savior face to face. Until that day, I'm so thankful to serve in CR with my family. Now, please welcome my son-in-law, Steve, and thanks for letting me share.
Am I one blessed guy? I'm a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, and I struggle with a sneaky mix of anger and codependency. My name is Steve.
Hi.
If CR wasn't for all issues and all people, many from our family would not find the healing they have found through this ministry. And 15 of our extended family would not currently be serving in our Celebrate Recovery. Every family in this family picture, you guys got our family picture? It's a big one. Well, just imagine how big the family is. Every family in our family picture has found healing through Celebrate Recovery. And yeah, our family is a real piece of work, but we're now letting the healer heal everything about us. We will always be grateful to God for getting our attention by using a prodigal cousin who had hit rock bottom in a Florida jail. Let me introduce to you Dee.
Hi, I'm a believer who struggles with drugs and fear, and my name is Deanne. If it weren't for the mess of my life that I'd really made of my life, Norman Steve would not have invited me to Tulsa and then would not have started Celebrate Recovery at our church. I would not have 5 years clean from drugs today. I wouldn't be married to the love of my life and actually have real relationships with my children today. I wouldn't be serving as the Oklahoma State Rep for Celebrate Recovery Inside Out. If my pastor had not told us about the summit in 2001, we would not even have Celebrate Recovery at our church. Please help me welcome our pastor, Hess Hester.
I'm a believer who struggles with depression and repressed anger. My name is Hess. Deanne was ground zero for CR in our church, and had she not come to Southern Hills 10 years ago, we would not have seen hundreds of lives transformed in Jesus Christ. This set a spark that helped lead to CR ministries in a total of 63 churches, 22 prisons, and 3 jails in the state of Oklahoma. Well, without CR, I would have missed one of the greatest waves of God's work in the history of the church and our church. Now it's a pleasure to introduce the executive producer for Home Run who contacted.
Good. So what
do
you think about that?
Okay, do you hear me? Yeah. So it's every other week we do a video or we have a lesson, and Eric did the lesson last night on denial. So with that said, and thank you so much for hearing us out. It's just a blessing to be able to share Celebrate Recovery with you all. Part of our program is reading the 12 steps, and so we're going to do that now. The 12 steps is... Whoop, is that me? Built on the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. So 12 steps and their biblical comparison. Now what I'll do is I'll read step 1, and then you respond by reading the scripture and the verse, okay? And we'll read all 12 steps together out loud. Okay, step 1. We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. Step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Step 3. We made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12:1. Step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Step 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Step 6, We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. James 4:10. Step 7, we humbly asked him to remove all our shortcomings. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Step 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke 6:31. Step 9. We made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:23 and 24. Step 10. We continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitting it. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and power to carry that out. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, Colossians 3:16. Step 12. Having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we try to carry these messages to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brother, if someone is caught in a sin, ye who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Galatians 6:1. Good job, church. Good job. Okay, if you'll stand, we're going to have a song, and this is our theme song at Celebrate Recovery. It's called Redeemed, and the words are just beautiful, and we all, as children of the living God, are redeemed. So thanks, Josh.
If your moderate to severe ulcerative colitis or Crohn's symptoms are holding you back, and your current treatment hasn't worked well enough,
seems like could see was the struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. This prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
So if you were looking at the words of that song and you were singing that or listening to the singing and you're thinking, I don't really understand that or that's not really true of my life, you need to go to Celebrate Recovery next Saturday night. We're going to close with the Serenity Prayer. Is there a slide for that? Okay, so we're going to pray this in unison together as we leave here today. So, oh, it's not there yet. There we go. All right, let's pray. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. We're going to have Nick and Ellen and Eric back here in the back by the table. If you have any questions, have anything you'd like to discuss with them, they'll be there to talk to you. Have a good week and go in the name of Christ. Amen.